This morning, turn to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter number three. Proverbs, chapter number three, going to start there in verse number 13. Haven't preached out of the book of Proverbs for a long time, but Proverbs, chapter number three this morning. When you found it, you can say amen, and I'll know you're there. Amen. It's open in the middle of your Bible. You should be in Psalms or Proverbs, one of those books. And so Proverbs, chapter three, if you look with me this morning at verse number 13, Proverbs is called the book of wisdom. And if you're reading your Proverbs, that you're going to have some wisdom in your life to help you to learn, help you to grow. And God is for certain, He's the one who gives wisdom. So Proverbs 3, notice what it says in verse number 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Now think about that for a minute. It says, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath found the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. Now we're going to take our text out of verse number 19 and 20 there, where it says, the Lord by wisdom, the Lord by wisdom. I want to preach this morning on this thought of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. Now, when we talk about the wisdom of God speaks of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we're going to talk about that for a minute in the way of introduction, but let's go to the Word in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service. Father, I am thankful that you're the all-wise, all-knowing, almighty God this morning. And God, there's nothing in dispute about that. You know everything. And God, the world and the fullness thereof is in your hand, not your disposal. And Father, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to our hearts this morning. If there's one that's lost, undone in their sin, that today could be the day of salvation. Today would be the day when their eyes would be opened. Today would be the day when they can, Lord, receive the wisdom of God and the understanding and the knowledge of the Lord. And Lord, I pray for the child of God this morning that we would walk in that wisdom and that understanding and that knowledge and that discretion. Father, that's something that's lacking in the day in which we live among God's people. And speak to our hearts as well, Father. And let the Holy Ghost, Lord, accomplish what it needs to do this morning. Fill me and guide my heart and lips. I say nothing that's not pleasing in your sight. And bless the word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as I preach on this thought this morning, the wisdom of God. Now, we know as Solomon writes this down from verse 13 down to verse number 20 there, he's talking about all the blessings that come along with knowing God and knowing God's wisdom. Now, when it comes to wisdom, wisdom is likened unto IQ. And we understand that. Some people have high IQs, some people have low IQs. And that is ability to think. But who is it that gives IQ? Who is it that gives someone understanding and wisdom and knowledge? It's God that does that. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Thank God for that. We can have some wisdom. Solomon, when God came to Solomon and asked him, he said, Solomon, anything you want, you can have it. He said, hey, if you want riches, you got it. If you want retirement, you got it. If you want revenge, you got it. But what is it that Solomon sought for? What is it that he sought? What was it that he desired? I'll tell you what it was. He said, God, give me wisdom. And look what God gave him in return. You say, what does wisdom do? We just read that. It says in verse 14, the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. Hey, if you got wisdom, guess what you're going to have in verse 16? You're going to have length of days in the right hand and in the left hand riches and honor. Wisdom will do something for you in your life. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know why we live in such a foolish time? Because people have forgotten where God's blessings come from, and it comes from God and not from everything else. You say, well, I'm going to trust in the government. I feel sorry for you because you can't have confidence in the government. Amen. I mean, that's just the way it is. You've got to have confidence in God, and God is where our blessings come from. Never forget that. My mama used to say, don't forget, son, which side your bread is buttered on. And she was telling me, hey, it's mama that takes care of you and not daddy. You know what? She was right. The bread was buttered on her side of the bread. And it's the same way when it comes to the blessings of God in this life. Don't forget what side your bread's buttered. centered on. The world, the flesh, and the devil, hey, they'll leave you dry and empty. But it's God who gives us blessings, and thank God. So wisdom speaks of IQ, ability to think, and that comes from God. Knowledge. You say, what is knowledge? Knowledge is simply this, the attainment of facts. We call it study. And anyone can get knowledge. Isn't that the way you go to college and get knowledge? We used to say, girls, we tease the girls, we'd say, girls go to Jupiter to get more stupider, and the boys go to Mars to get candy bars, right? And then the girls say, they'd say, well, girls go to college to get more knowledge, and boys go to Jupiter to get more stupider. But the girls actually had it right, because college attendance among boys is what? Way down. It's way on down there. You say, why? Because people want to be stupid. They want to be willfully ignorant. Now, education is what? Is education a good thing? Yes, education is a good thing. I've listened to people talk, well, I'm just a stupid, dumb, little, ignorant person. I said, well, that's okay, but you don't got to stay that way, for God's sake. Right? It's one thing to be dumb, but you don't got to stay that way. Right? You don't got to be ignorant. You can have some education in this life, and there's nothing wrong with education. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you want to have a good paying job these days, you better have some education. Right? You listen. People say, well, you know, we should, I don't want to be political here, but use a little common sense that people don't seem to have. McDonald's is not a career. Thank God for people that cook McDonald's. Because when you go in there, you want a hamburger. But who's usually in there cooking them? Some little freckle-faced, pimple-faced teenage boy who's 16 years old, and that is just a beginning job for him. That's gas money. Hey, that's a little few bucks to blow on Friday night. We understand that. That is not going to take care of his family. That is not going to feed his children. That is not going to make his house payment. Now, thank God for those jobs. Thank God for the housewife that can work and make a little few extra bucks. Thank God for someone who has just a little extra money on the side, work a second job. Thank God for all those jobs. But I'm telling you right now, they are not careers. They are not. You say, what about being a manager? Fine, be a manager. That's a good career. Hey, I'm going to be a maintenance man. Fine, that's a good career. But flipping hamburgers is not a good career. I know, because I flipped hamburgers. I flipped a lot of hamburgers. And let me tell you, that's not a good career. I used to work with the guys at Frisch's. It's like Shoney's. And there's guys in there 45, 50 years old, and they're still flipping hamburgers. And I'm thinking the whole time, what in the world are you doing here? There's no future in cooking hamburgers. You say, why? Because every time you get a new manager, guess what? They're looking to fire you and bring someone else in your spot. Fast food is like, you know, it's like everything's fast. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. That's fast food. That's just the way it is. But see, knowledge is something you can attain. Knowledge is something you can get. Doesn't the Bible say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right, divine, in the word of truth? I think study is an important thing, and learning is an important thing, and God has commanded us to do that. Stupidity is a shame. Stupidity is a travesty. But again, that's the problem, one of the problems we have today when it comes to this thing. You say, what is understanding? Understanding is discretion. And understanding is the application of wisdom and knowledge. We call it common sense. Now, guess what our society lacks today? Common sense. You ever seen the government have any common sense? I mean, our schools, do they got any common sense? I mean, they got a zero excuse me, a zero tolerance policy on guns, right? So little Johnny comes in and says, bang, bang, bang. And he's suspended from school, lock him up in handcuffs, haul him away with the police. You say, what is that? That is ridiculous. No common sense. Johnny brings his squirt gun in and squirts someone. Remember, how many kids brought squirt guns to school every spring? We'd do that every spring. And every spring, the teacher would be stepping on our squirt guns, right? And we'd be shooting people. You try that today, you're going to jail. You'll be a terrorist. You say, what's the problem? No common sense. People have no common sense today. But it's no wonder, because they have no wisdom either. And my goodness, you talk about a bunch of idiots. I've seen educated idiots and I've seen uneducated idiots. But at the end of the day, they're all what? Idiots. That's the problem. That's the problem. That lack of common sense. No common sense. all the scandals that are taking place in our government today. You say, what's the problem? There's no common sense. There's absolutely no common sense. Now, the three kinds of wisdom that the Bible speaks of, they have this. There's the what we call the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the wise. Keep your finger in Proverbs, and because we're going to be coming back there. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're still, my introduction this morning is actually longer than the message, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Now, notice this, the Bible speaks of the wisdom of the wise. And this is of those who think they're smart and think so much of themselves. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made in effect. For the preaching of the cross of them that perish foolishness, but in us who are saved is the power of God. For it is written, look what it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Think about it for a minute. When it comes to the wisdom of the wise, you say, what is that? You know, those who believe in evolution, educated what? Idiots. If you think you came from a monkey, you are an idiot. You say, well, I came from one cell amoeba. You're a bigger idiot. You say, I believe in the Big Bang. You're really an idiot. There's no evidence for any of those things. You say, can I ask you? You know, that's why science is always changing, because it's not real. What I say last week, truth doesn't change. Truth is constant. And everything they always say, they always come back and say, well, everything we thought before, we found out to be wrong. Well, no kidding, because that's the wisdom of the wise. Modern education. I'm not against education. I'm against modern education. And that is because it's a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of idiots. That's why God despised it. That's why Romans says 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. They became fools. The wisdom of the wise. How about the wisdom of this world? You're in 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse number 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolish of preaching to save them that would believe. Hey, the wisdom of this world. You say, what is this wisdom? It's earthly, it's sensual, and the Bible says that is devilish. In James chapter number 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. James 3 and verse number 13, this is what the Bible says. It says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts and glory not and lie against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, where envying and strife is there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace. So the wisdom of this world, we say, what is it? It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. It's sad. It's sad. And then there's the Bible calls the wisdom of the Word, the wisdom of the Word. 2 Timothy 3 says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Psalms 119 says this, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teacher, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Let me tell you something. This is the greatest book of wisdom that the world's ever seen. You know why our nation's falling apart? Because our nation has forsaken this book. You know why our homes are falling apart and marriages are falling apart and society's falling apart? Because this book has been forsaken in our families. It's been forsaken in our homes. It's been forsaken by our children. It's been forsaken in our business practices. It's been forsaken in our courts. It's been forsaken in our halls of Congress. It has been forsaken. And it is no wonder that we live in a world full of idiots. Because this here is the book of wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. And this book has been forsaken. I wonder how many of you are sitting here this morning and you know in your heart, and if you were honest, you had forsaken this book. And this book no longer has an integral part of your life. How do you know if this book has a part of your life? Because you read it and you study it and you have it before your eyes throughout the week. How many of God's people have forsaken this book? How many of God's people have forsaken the wisdom of God? Hey, when I really got to have an answer from God, you know what I do? I pray, and I read this Bible and seek an answer from God. You say, why? Because this book has all the answers. Or you say, are you kidding me? Does that book have all the answers? This book has all the answers for every situation of life. But see, that's why we live in a confused day. People are confused when it comes to who they are and what they are. You have people walking around today, they look like a man, they look like a woman. You ain't sure what it is. It's like cousin It. There's it. There it is. What is that? That is a it. We don't know what it is. They're confused. Why? Because they have no understanding. They have no knowledge. They have no common sense. They have no understanding. You say, why? Because this book's been forsaken. You ever read this book, why it says it's such an abomination for a man to put on a woman's garment and a woman to wear a man's garment? Because you don't know what they are at the end of the day. See, this book will help you get some sensibility when it comes to life. People's finances are so goofed up today because they don't know what this book says about finances. I mean, you look at just their relationships are so goofed up because they don't know what this book says about relationships. Their worship is so goofed up because they don't know what this book says about worship. How their relationship with God is so goofed up because they don't know how to approach God anymore. Now here's my message. I got three little simple points this morning. When it comes to the wisdom of God, I want to look at the wisdom this morning in giving. I want to look at the wisdom when it comes to greatness. And I want to look at the wisdom when it comes to going to heaven. When it comes to going to heaven. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, let me say this morning when it comes to giving. You say, oh my gosh, you're not going to talk about money. Not really. I'm talking about giving. When you hear the word giving, it's not just talking about money. Amen. You see, the problem is we've got so confused about this thing. Now, we know what the world says when it comes to giving. The world says, take all you can, take all you get, and give nothing back. Get all you can and set on the can. Right? Isn't that right? That's how it is. Take everything you get from everyone. Suck the life out of everybody you can suck the life out of. But you know, that's what a fool does. That's what a fool does. Remember the rich fool in Luke chapter number 12? And you'll get where I'm going here in just a minute. But Luke chapter 12, you've got to bear with me for a minute. Luke chapter number 12, remember that rich fool? In Luke chapter number 12, you look there for a minute. Keep your finger in Proverbs. Luke 12, and this man, he really thought a lot of himself. And Luke chapter number 12, and notice what it says in verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You ever see that bumper sticker on people's cars say, he who has the most toys wins? Look at verse 20. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, we live in a selfish, self-centered generation, do we not? And boy, it's all about me. This is the me generation. You know, you deserve it. It's all about me and I deserve everything, every good thing. I deserve all these things, and you know, take care of yourself because no one else will, and all those kind of things. Well, can I tell you something? That's not the way to get God's blessings. I got a little balloon here. You know, a balloon is a... Who don't like balloons? Everybody likes balloons. But this is to illustrate this generation. You know, it's all about me. Boy, get all you can. And get more, all you can. You know, I just can't get enough. And boy, I just need some more and more and more. You ever hear of Scrooge McDuck? Boy, he never satisfied. Oh boy, got to have more and more and more. And it's getting bigger and bigger. More. And it blows up in their face. And all of a sudden, their life's in shambles. You say, what happened? What happened? You see, all you did was take and 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 take till you had what? Nothing. Why do marriages fail? Because a husband will take and he'll take and he'll take and he'll take and he'll take and take till a wife got nothing else and marriage is over. A wife will take and 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 take till husband's got nothing left and the marriage is over. God help us, kids today. They'll take and take and take and take and take until mom and dad are living on the street. Let me tell you something. Life is give and take. Now, if I'd have just let some air out of that balloon, we'd still have it, would we not? But see, when all you do is take, how in the world can you ever expect to be blessed in your life? How can you ever expect for God's blessings to be in your life when all you ever do is take? You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because all it does is take. It has an inlet, but it has no outlet. And when there is no outlet, things die. That's why the Bible says very clearly when it comes to these things, it says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaking, run together, shall men give into your bosom, for what measure you meet, it shall be measured you again. You say, what is it? It doesn't say what to give, it just says give. We wonder why our kids are so goofed up. You know what kids need? Time. Children need time. Children want somebody to spend time with them. They want to throw the ball. They want to ride the bike. Hey, they want to do some of those things. See, you got to give some time. It can't be all about you all the time. It's got to be about someone else. You know what every wife wants, gentlemen? They want some time with you. They want to talk with you. You ever had a conversation when someone else isn't talking? Well, my goodness. You know, Wall, you're just a wonderful person, and I love you, Wall, and man, you're just so great. But see, the Wall ain't talking back to me. You ever hear the white, it's like, talking to you like talking to that Wall. See, it's give and... Woman, where's my supper? Where's my lunch? Where's my clean clothes? And what did you do? It's give and take. You know what's amazing? You only get out of things what you put in them. Isn't that a great thing? What happens to a car that you never maintenance? Brother Ron can tell you. He works on them all the time. They're broke down. They're broke down on the side of the road. You have to put something into a car to get something out of it. People say, I don't get nothing out of church. That's not surprising. What do you put in it? You ever seen someone come to the table every time a meal is served and all they do is come to the table with their fork and knife and sit there? I can tell you, I have seen that firsthand. And that is disgusting. And as soon as they get done eating, they get up and walk away. And there sets the dishes, there sets the slop, there sets the mess. And they brought nothing to the table and they left, and they left with everything that was on it. Hey, thanks, that was great. See you next mealtime. It's disgusting. You only get out of life what you give. You know, that's why the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight. Let me tell you something. The more that you do that's good, guess what? The more that comes back your way. There's something about giving. And everybody knows when it comes to finances, that's a fact. The more, remember our story of the rich man? The more fields he had, the more things he had in his barn. Isn't that right? The more hours you work at work, the more money you make. Aren't those things directly related? Amen. Finances are that way. The more you give of your finances, the more God gives back to you. You give to the poor, God gives back to you. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. That's a fact. But you know, not just finances, how about friendships? The more you put into friendship, the more you get out of friendship. Isn't that true? You know, listen, I'm thankful as a pastor. I have a lot of friendships with all the different families here in church. And I speak to our families, different families throughout the week, and we have some friendship with you. And the people that are closest to me are the people who put something into what? The relationship. People say, I'm not close to the pastor. You don't want to be. You put something into it, guess what? And we'll have some relationship. Friendship is not a one-way thing. It's hard to shake hands with yourself. You understand what I'm saying here? Right? Friendship is, hey, friendship. What do friends do? They talk to one another. They do things for one another. They be a blessing to one another. I said one another. That's what friendship is. The more you put into friendships, the better your friendships are. The more you put into family, guess what? The better your family is. But see, you only get what you put in. You know, it's kind of like a savings account. You say, well, I'm going to retire one day, and you know, and I put 50 cents in the bank, and I'm going to retire with a fortune one day. I don't think so. You're going to get your 50 cents back with a few other cents added to it. Because that's all you put in. If you put more into things, guess what? You get more out of them. Hey, there's a wisdom in giving. There's a wisdom, a biblical principle when it comes to these things of finances, friendship, and family. And the more you put in, the more you get out. What about what the Bible says about greatness, the wisdom of greatness? You know what the world says? Be king, be chief, be president, be in charge, be the big boss man. Toot your own horn if no one else will. Make yourself big. What does God say? Isn't God's wisdom just the opposite? Isn't it God says that, hey, that's not the order. That's not how you get ahead of life. That's not how you become a big man. And if you'll look with me in Matthew chapter number 20 this morning. Will you look there in Matthew chapter number 20? And this is what Jesus Christ said concerning this thing. You want to be a great Christian. You want to be great. You want to be the person God wants you to be. Look at Matthew chapter number 20 and look at verse number 25. Matthew 20, verse number 25, and Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. You know why Jesus Christ was so great? Because he was a servant of the people. You want to be great? Then be a great servant. You want to be great? Then learn how to be small. You want to be great? Learn how to humble yourself. You want to be great? Learn how to lift other people up in your stead. Philippians 2, when Apostle Paul writes the book of Philippians, He made it very clear. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, what mind is that? He says, hey, that is the spirit of meekness and the spirit of humility. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. He says, who being in the form of God, thought not rather be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You say, what did he do? Christ humbled himself unto death. He took on the form of a servant. He left the throne of glory and came down to a meek and lowly stable where the animals stayed, and chose to be born in that fashion, and chose to be raised by poor parents, and chose to be seen by the shepherds, and chose that meek and lowly life. Boy, that's not what people are choosing in America today, is it? Man, we're reaching for the stars. We're reaching for that. We're reaching for the galaxy. We're reaching as high as we can reach. And what we need to be doing is stooping down and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God and learning how to be a servant. Learn how to be a servant. Learn how to serve others. Learn how to be a blessing to someone else. Learn how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Learn how to show compassion to people in need of it. Learn how to help those that are in need around you. What kind of wisdom are you striving for? Do you want to be like that man in Luke chapter number 12, or do you want to be like the meek and lowly Galilean? Oh, we live in a funny day, do we not? See, the wisdom of God is completely different from the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God says, hey, give what you got. Give into things. Be a blessing to someone else. The wisdom of God says, hey, you want to be great? Then make yourself small. Make yourself a servant. Make yourself a blessing to someone else. See, the wisdom of the world is just opposite. The wisdom of the wise is just opposite. What about this thing of going to heaven? You know what the world says? You have to do something good. And God says there's no good thing you can do. Isn't that exactly opposite? Matter of fact, God says admit what you are. What is that? A sinner. Fall on God's mercy and ask for forgiveness. What's Romans 4 or 5 say? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that exactly opposite of what the world teaches? You say, hey, remember that man that came to Jesus Christ, that wealthy man, that rich man? He said, Master, what good thing must I do that I might enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, hey, why are you calling me good? What's the Bible say? He says, hey, he said, the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, and all these different things. He said, hey, you've done all those things. He said, what do I lack yet? He says, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come thou and follow me. Uh-oh. Follow you? Jesus done said, hey, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, and you want me to follow you? Isn't that funny? 11 unlearned, ignorant men follow Jesus. You said, Brother Chris, there's 12. Yeah, but Judas was of Kirioth. Judas was not an unlearned, ignorant man. Judas was an educated man. He was a man of the world. He was a man of finances. He had understanding. He knew exactly what he was doing. But Peter, James, and John, the boys, were unlearned, ignorant men. They were dumb enough just to follow God. But God did make them the pillars of the church. And God did use them to build upon the foundation, which was Jesus Christ. And the pillars of the church were Peter, James, and John. And God did use them to evangelize the world. And God did use them to reach out with the gospel of Christ. And when the Apostle Paul came along, who was educated and who did have understanding and who did have wisdom and who did have everything going for him, he had to leave it all behind and make himself small. You read the book of Philippians, Paul said, I count all those things that I gained as but dung that I may win Christ. What kind of wisdom are you looking for? Where are you trying to get in life? Will you look at me one more scripture? Matthew 21. And look at verse number 42. Matthew 21 and verse number 42. Christ is the rock. And to fall on him is to be broken. Psalms 51 says, a broken and contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. God is looking for a broken and contrite spirit. Matthew 21, and notice verse number 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders reject, the same has become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. Wherefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruits thereof. Now look at verse 44. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. To fall on the stone, which is Jesus Christ, is to be broken. You see, God has to break things before he can use them. Remember the alabaster box? What had to happen to it? Did it not have to be broken for the perfume to come out? Did not the bread and the fish have to be broken to feed the 5,000? Do not things have to be broken to make them valuable? You take the greatest stallion in the world. What did it have to be before it was a stallion? It had to be broken so that it could be ridden and become useful. See, it's the breaking process is what we reject. Can I tell you something? Until God breaks your wild, rebellious spirit, you will never be able to do anything for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That Bible says, he that falleth on the stone shall be broken. God had to break the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And when Saul of Tarsus fell upon the stone, he was broken. And then God began to use him. The little stone Peter had to fall upon the stone and be broken there as he warmed his fires and the hands of the fires of the evil one. And he had to be broken there, his pride, where he said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. Though all men shall deny you this night, I'll not deny. I am ready to go into death with you. Jesus Christ had to let Peter be broken upon the rock so that he could become the pillar of the church. When you fall on the stone, you get broken. And then God can do something with your life. The reason some of you, God has never put his hand on you yet, because you've yet to fall on the stone and be broken. You say, what's the alternative? Look what it says. He that falleth on the stone shall be broken, but the stone that falls on the person, what happened? They're going to be ground to powder. You say, what is that? That's ashes. What happens to the person that the stone falls on? I'll tell you what happens to them. They die and go to hell and burn forever. Judgment comes on their life because instead of falling on the stone fell on them. You say, what happened to the religious rulers of the day? The stone fell on them. You say, what happened to Caiaphas? What happened to Annas? What happened to these fellows? The stone fell on them instead of them falling on the stone. Is your life in ashes? Yeah, that's because the stone fell on you. How much better to fall on the stone and just be broken. See, the wisdom of this world, they'll never understand it. The wisdom of the wise, they'll never get it. See, the wisdom of the Word, the wisdom of God. The Bible says, hey, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You fall on that stone and see if God won't do something with your life. You say, it hurts to be broken. You better believe it does. But it's through that breaking process that you realize your dependence is on God and not yourself. You say, I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to get there. No. You're going to be like that balloon, and it's all going to blow up in your face. And then you're going to be there in a pile of ashes wondering what happened. What we need to do is fall upon the rock and see if God won't work in your life. Let's stand for prayer.